that, but I'll do my best.
1 John chapter 1 in your Bibles, if you'd turn with me there, please. And thank you for the warm reception today for my wife, my daughter, my sister-in-laws, and myself. It was great to meet many of you and shake hands and chat. And my wife and daughter are back home this evening, so I'm solo tonight, but I'm excited to be here and to preach the word to you. So I felt bad for going a little bit over this morning, so I guess I was doing okay. You guys here till what, 2 usually, or what, something like that? Okay, all right. All right, so we're in 1 John chapter 1, and this morning I think we had a good service. God met with us, and we talked about being in Christ. What an important concept for the Christian in any day and age, but especially today when the world just is Hollywood, the world, I mean, just anti-Christ. Folks, we've got to abide in Jesus Christ. Because if we do not, we are worthless, like branches that are cut off from the vine. Folks, we won't produce fruit. The world will not be able to partake and taste and see that the Lord is good. We will not honor our Father. You and I will walk around defeated and despondent, just hunkered down in the basement until Jesus comes, you know, kind of thing. We don't have to live that way. We can get out and be victorious and see our families united and our churches united and working together to spread the gospel. We can see it, folks. We can see it because God promised it. He gave us His Word. He gave us His Spirit. We can live godly in this world. Just abide in Jesus Christ. 1 John is one of my absolute favorite books. I can preach this day in and day out. I love this book. Many, many, many people come to the book of 1 John to get assurance of salvation. Now, I'm going to preface it by saying, go home and read it. And the point really isn't, hey, you're struggling with your salvation. These are some tests to give you assurance. That's not the point. Matter of fact, if you take some of these tests and say, am I saved? Do I do this? You're going to walk around doubting big time. But the point here that John is trying to make to these believers, and again, he calls them little children, my little children. These are saved folks. And I don't believe they were struggling with their salvation. He was instructing them how to continue in fellowship with their God. And folks, that's what abiding is. It's fellowship with your God, getting in the Word, trusting it, applying it to your life, walking in the light as He is in the light. It doesn't mean that you somehow are a super Christian, you've eradicated all sin from your life, but in fellowship you come to Him with your sin and you say, I confess. And He forgives and he helps us to go on to maturity and He blesses us and enables us. Abiding in Jesus Christ, experiencing the abundant, eternal Christian life. It's available for you, folks. Let's jump in. We'll pray. And then I forgot, I was talking to Louis, the song leader? And he said, give a little background of your time in Qatar. So I'll do that, and then we'll jump into the message. So let's read together in 1 John chapter 1. I'll read all the way to chapter 2 and verse 3. The Apostle John pens these words, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Who is our fellowship with? He says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Let's pray. God of heaven, I need Your help tonight. We need You. We're a needy people. We know that we needed Christ for salvation, and now today still we need You to teach us, to make us like Christ. We need Your blessings. We need Your enabling and illumination. Father, just teach us from Your word. May we leave here more like Jesus Christ than when we came in. I pray that there would be a love for You in our hearts stirred tonight, that we would experience Your presence, that we would understand what it is to walk with You, to fellowship with You in the light as You are in the light. And may we know the abundant life that is a result. Lord, I trust You for this tonight, and we thank You in advance for what You will do, what You have done, and what You're doing in our lives now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So quickly, I'll just give a background of my time in Qatar. We went to Texas, Fort Bliss, Texas, first for a few months to mobilize, and they treated us like we were going to Afghanistan or something. I mean, just rough, you know, out there. And then we get to Qatar, and we're thinking, this is a resort. It was pretty nice, a pretty well-established army camp there in the country of Qatar. The Qataris are very rich. If you're a Qatari, you don't do menial labor. You might be a doctor or a lawyer, but anybody who does the hard work are people they've brought in from other countries all over the world. 85% of the population in the country of Qatar are what we call OCNs, other country nationals, not Qatari. They've come in to do work. So only 15% of the people that live there are actually Qatari. Thought that was amazing. You drive downtown Doha and people are driving Lexus and Beamers and Corvettes and, I mean, anything you can imagine. Opulence. I mean, wow. The mall there is, there's a river that goes through it with a gondola. These people are rich. Then we go back to Camp Asili and, you know, dirt and sand and everything. But we still had it pretty good. No bullets flying. So by deployment standards, we had it pretty good. My brothers are both in the Army, and they've been to Iraq and Afghanistan. And when they heard me, the baby, was going to Qatar, they just shook their head like, are you kidding me? You know, I outrank them both. They're both NCOs and I'm an officer. And so, you know how the baby gets spoiled. So anyway, I was the head pastor of the chapel there on Camp Asalia. We had a good crowd come out. On a Sunday morning, we probably had exactly what we have tonight. But I tell you, the spirit there was amazing. I was, by God's grace, able to help a lot of soldiers with their marriages. We showed the movie Fireproof, and we got that book, The Love Dare, that was donated to us from folks back home. And I'll tell you, I thank God for my wife. I never a day feared that she was going to be unfaithful to me while I was away. But time and time again, we had soldiers who just, their families were falling apart at the seams. Their wives were unfaithful, or they were unfaithful, and they're trying to patch it up, and it just broke my heart. And I was able to bring God to them, and I was able to preach Christ. We had, I think, three soldiers saved while we were there, and one OCN, a guy from somewhere in Africa. He just strolled in on his off day, and he got saved. It was really neat. I'll tell you one story. My barracks was right next to, they call it the top off. It's the hangout. and you can get coffee and tea and anything else. There's a bowling alley in there. I walked next door and got a cup of tea. I was all excited about my tea. I was going to go back to my room and I was going to study. I put it down on my desk, took the top off for whatever stupid reason, turned around, boom, knocked it over, all over my stuff, and I'm all angry, you know, God, how could you let this happen, da 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 da, you know, how we get our little pity parties. Well, I went back to get a refill, and as I went back, a soldier stopped me, and he said, hey, chaplain, I got some questions for you. And we sat down, and we walked through the gospel, and that soldier got saved. So, isn't it neat how God can use spilled tea, things that we cry over, things that we get frustrated over, and work it out for good. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. God's good. Trust Him. No matter what happens in your life, God can bring it out for good. And so choose to love Him, choose to trust Him, choose to serve Him. He's a good God. He'll take care of you. So with that, I think I've given enough. Great year in Qatar. Good to be back with my family. A lot of catching up to do. And so let's jump into 1 John chapter 1. Now, from the title, who wrote this book? The Apostle John, right? John is one of my absolute favorite characters in the Bible. It says he was the apostle whom the Lord loved. He was the man at the Last Supper. Do you remember what he did? He put his head on Jesus there. There was a relationship between John and Jesus that was like no other as far as a human relationship. You could say it was like Jesus' best friend. Wouldn't that be neat? When he walked this earth to be Jesus, forgive me, buddy, his friend, but to sit at his feet and to listen to his teaching, to fellowship with him, to eat with him, to see him heal and preach. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there? Have you ever not just sat and contemplated what would it have been like to walk next to Jesus, to hear his voice, to see his face, to fellowship with him one-on-one like that? John had that fellowship. You saw it an intimate picture at the Last Supper when he put his head on Jesus, the disciples surrounding him. You've often longed for that type of fellowship, have you not, with the Lord Jesus Christ? But did you know that the Apostle John, in writing the book of 1 John, you know what he's saying to the reader? You can have this type of fellowship. It is absolutely possible and available for you and me to have that kind of fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ right now. It is absolutely possible. He says that which was from the beginning. Now, what is he talking about here? Is he talking about the creation of the world, Genesis chapter 1:1? No, I don't think that's what he's talking about. He gives us some clues here as we read on. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now we have to ask ourselves, who's the we? This is called an epistolary we. The man writing it is including himself and the other apostles. Okay, so John, you say, oh, John, you're so lucky, man. You got to eat with Jesus and walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus. You were probably his best earthly friend. Oh, John, you're so lucky. And he's saying, that which we have heard, me and the other apostles, he says, we declare unto you. And so here's a message from a first-hand account, someone who heard Jesus. We, the apostles, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. John saw Jesus. It says, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Who's the word of life here he's talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so what's the beginning that he's talking about? I would argue that the beginning that John is talking about is the incarnation. What do I mean? When God became flesh, when Jesus Christ, the Son, came to earth, was born of a virgin, he was born a man like you and me with flesh and bone and blood flowing through his veins so that that blood could be shed on the cross. That is the beginning that John is talking about. And really, if you'd research the history, John is combating some of the false teaching that was going on during this time. Something like Gnosticism. They were saying, oh, Jesus was just a spirit that came upon a man and left him at the crucifixion, or he was just a phantom of your imagination. And John is saying, no way, I saw him. I touched him. I looked upon him. My ears heard him teach. Jesus was very much God and very much man. And folks, if that's not the case, our faith is in vain. If God did not become a man and go to the cross and his body broken and his blood shed, there's no salvation. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and it was the perfect blood of the Lamb of God that was shed for you and for me. The incarnation, when God became flesh, when God became man, that is what makes our salvation possible. And John is preaching it here. He's saying, we, the apostles, heard it, saw him, touched him. And what we heard, we are declaring now to you. So think of John and the other apostles, the intimate contact they had with the Lord for those 3+ years. Now he's turning around and writing this epistle, this letter to you. And he's saying, I'm declaring what I heard and saw. Okay? So he's combating false doctrine, but he's also giving us a message about fellowship. All right, verse 2. He calls him what? The word of life. Remember that? That's important. The word of life. Now, verse 2. For the life was manifested. Now, what does that mean? When I think of the life here and I think about what the scriptures have to say about life, I think about, man, living. Living to the fullest, abundant life. We talked about that this morning. When the branch is plugged into the vine, what does it have? It has the life of Jesus Christ flowing through it. And what does that life include? Again, John chapters 14 to 17, the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus talks to them about peace and joy and answers to prayer and fellowship with the Father and fruit. These are things that you and I can very much experience. That is the quality of life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived and can live in and through you if you will abide in Him, if you will fellowship with Him. Folks, I hear of and see so many Christians with their head down and they say, man, the world is just too bad. It's so dark. You know, we can't win people anymore. I can't raise my family in this world. You know, I just can't wait till Jesus comes. I can't wait till Jesus comes either, but I don't have to live defeated. My quality of life does not have to be the worst. You know, Christian, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm suffering for Jesus. No. You can have the absolute best quality of life than any other demographic on the face of this earth. You can live an abundant, full, joyful, peaceful life, full of answers to prayer and fruit and closeness with the Father. That type of life is what we call the eternal life. We often think of eternal as, oh yeah, I'm going to die and live forever in heaven. Yes, that's true. But the eternal life is a quality of life that is available for the Christian now. You don't have to die to go get it. It's yours. If you have the Son, you have life. And if you abide in Him, you will experience this life, the same life that Jesus had. And it comes through fellowship with Him. If you're not fellowshipping with your God, you will not experience this quality of life. It's a type of life that circumstances cannot touch. It's a joy that situations cannot steal. Folks, this is the kind of life that you and I can have right this very moment. How do we get this life? Well, it says that Jesus is the life. That's the answer. He's the Word of life. Well, that tells me I need to be in the Word to get this life. For the life was manifested. God is a representation of this life. He is everything we need. If we have Him, we have life. And it was hid from us. And when God became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that life was manifested. Does that make any sense? Now, I'm from South Jersey, and Philly is right just down the road. I'm a big Philly fan. I mean, I love the Eagles, the Phillies. the Flyers. I couldn't care less about the 76ers. I'm not a basketball fan. But our favorite hero is Rocky Balboa, okay? He's just Philly's favorite son, okay? Here's a guy down and out, and he, you know, goes against the champ, and he's the champ, you know, he wins. Well, during one of the movies, there's a press conference that's happening in front of the museum. They're all on the stairs of the museum, and there's this big thing covered up in this cloth, right? And all everybody's ready with their cameras, and Rocky's there, you know, with his wife and everything. And it's the unveiling, you know. He comes and the mayor, whoever it is, pulls down the veil, and there he is, Rocky Balboa. And I think it's still there. They moved it, and then they moved it back. It's a big statue of Rocky Balboa. It was revealed, or it was manifested, and all the oohs and the ahs and the cameras clicking. So basically, that's the idea here. The life that we can have, it was hid in God. But it was revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. It was the unveiling. It was the manifestation. Jesus came and he said, I am God in the flesh. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm going to teach you about God and about myself. I'm going to go to the cross, die, be buried and raised again, be risen again. Believe in me and you can have this life. He's demonstrating to them this life. You look at Jesus Christ, this is life manifested. You want to know what the quality of eternal life is? Look at Jesus Christ. And more than that, fellowship with Jesus Christ. And you can experience that life. And so here he's called the Word of Life by John and the other apostles. He says the life was manifested and we, the apostles, have seen it and bear witness and show unto you this eternal life. This quality of life revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, we are declaring to you. And he will go on through the book of 1 John and explain how it is that we can know that we know him, that we fellowship with him, so that we can know that we have this quality of life. He says in second part of verse 3, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, why? That ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what John the Apostle is saying here? He says the same fellowship that me and the other apostles had with Jesus Christ, you Christian, 21st century America, you can have it too. We somehow think, well, we missed the boat, you know. He lived 2,000 years ago. We'll just have to wait till we get to heaven to really know Jesus. That is not the case, folks. If anything, we can have a deeper fellowship with Jesus than John did. Do you know why? Because the God in the person of the Holy Spirit lives inside of me this very moment, 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every year of my life. I have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And because of that, I can fellowship with my God. I can get in the Word and He can minister to me and pray for me. And oh, the fellowship we can have if we walk in the light as He is in the light. And that's the key. So don't believe the lie that, oh, we'll just have to wait till heaven to fellowship with Jesus. Not the case, folks. You can fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Folks, if you're out of fellowship with God, the good news is you can get back in fellowship with God. You don't have to say, well, you know, it's just really hard down here and I'm all this sin and, you know, distraction and just can't wait to go to heaven. It's just going to be better there. Yeah, it's going to be better, but don't live a defeatist life. Live the eternal life which God intended you to live. Full of all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Abide in the vine. That means trust and obey. That means fellowship. All one in the same, folks. All one in the same. Let's see. He talks about fellowship in verse 3, right? Now, look at verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, overflowing. The people around you can't help get wet with the joy that's just flowing out of you. You know what I mean? Folks, what was it that got Jesus through the cross? He said he endured the cross for the what that was set before him? Joy. Joy is something that circumstances cannot take away from you. You know, happiness and joy are a little bit different in my mind anyway. I get my paycheck on Friday, I'm happy. Come Thursday and nothing's left, I'm not so happy, you know. I'm waiting for that next paycheck. Everybody's happy at home, you know, mama's happy, everybody's happy type of thing. Something goes wrong, the baby's crying, food gets ruined, not so happy. Happiness is up and down and up and down, right? But joy is something that can be consistent, that no circumstance can steal from you. And it's found in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the realm of eternal life, the life that is hid with God, is hid within Christ, and something that can very much be experienced by you when you are plugged into the vine and His life is simply flowing through you and producing the work and the fruit in you that God intended. This is the eternal life. And this means fellowship. There's joy there, folks. Do you want joy? Do you want a strong joy that gets you through the worst of circumstances? It's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we've gone through verses 1 through 4. We understand what the beginning is, the incarnation. We understand who wrote it and the fellowship they had. We understand that they're saying, you and I can have it today. And we understand that he's writing so that we can fellowship with God. And that in fellowship, there's joy. Do you see that? Now look at verse 5. John basically says, this is the crux of my message. If you want these things, folks, do you want these things? I know you do. Everybody wants these things. He says, this then is the message. If you want joy, if you want eternal life, if you want fellowship with your God, you need to hear this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, guess what? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Excuse me, from all sin. Now, what he's saying is, folks, you want joy, right? You want peace. You want eternal life. You want fellowship with your God. Then you must understand this, that God is holy. He loved you and reached down to a sinful world and sent his son to die on the cross, shed his very blood for you and for me, was buried and rose again. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith will be saved. Now the opportunity is ours as his children to fellowship with him. And oh, the blessings he has in store as we do so. Abundant, eternal life, fruit, joy, love, peace, all these things. Answers to prayer. But we only experience that as we walk in the light. What does that mean? Does it mean that we absolutely never sin? Well, no, that's not the case. Because I don't know about you, but I'm finding that very impossible. I sin every day. What does that mean? I open the light of His Word, and I fellowship with Him in the light of His Word. I see, oh, that's wrong, and this is right, and the Holy Spirit works on me through His Word. If I am holding on to my sin, and I'm saying, I want joy, I want peace, I want eternal life, but I love my sin, I'm going to hold on to it. I'm walking in darkness. I know it, and I won't give it up. And the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart and saying you're missing out on the blessings, you're missing out on the fellowship, you're not maturing, God is not using you like He would like to, you don't have fellowship, you are not experiencing the eternal abundant life. And you say, I know, but I love this sin. I can't give it up. I won't give it up. It's just this little thing. If we are walking in darkness, walking deliberately in darkness, there is absolutely no way that I can at the same time fellowship with my God. Does that mean that I've lost my salvation? Absolutely not. He holds me in His hand and no man can pluck me out, not even myself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's done. He did it and I can't undo it. I was born into a family and I cannot be unborn. I was born into God's family when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ and I cannot be unborn. He holds my salvation. My salvation never depended upon me. And so keeping me saved doesn't depend on me either. It's all Him, folks. But if I'm walking in darkness, I am not fellowshipping with my God, who is what? Light. Because in Him is no darkness at all. Folks, we must understand this principle if we are going to go on in fellowship with Him and maturity in the Christian life and experience the eternal abundant life. It's available. Now, does that mean that, oh man, I just struggle with sin though? That struggle is a part of walking with God in fellowship. He puts His arm around us and He says, I know you're struggling and I will help you with it. Don't push Him aside and say, God, let me get all this squared away first and then I'll come back to you in fellowship. It's impossible. You open His Word and you meditate upon it and you memorize it and you let the Holy Spirit begin to work on you and mold you. Walk in fellowship with your God. You trust His Word and you obey His Word through the ability, the enabling, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That is fellowship. What did I sing this morning? I sang that simple song, Trust and Obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Really, folks, that's it. Now, if you're going to trust His Word, how are you going to do so if you don't know His Word? And if you don't know His Word, how are you going to know His Word if you don't read His Word? You're doing the right thing. You're here tonight. You're listening to the preaching of His Word. Go home and get in it and love it and post it on your wall and listen to it in your car and meditate upon it as often as you can. Because it is as we hear and read His Word that the Holy Spirit now has something to work with. And He takes that Word and He molds us and He shapes us. And as we hear it and we say, yeah, okay, I get that and I'll trust it and I'll obey it. That's walking in the light, folks. Don't worry about the sins that trip you up. God will help you overcome, but you've got to do your part by getting in the Word and trusting it and applying it to your life and getting around people who love His Word, because it is only then that we fellowship with Him. It is only then that we will experience this eternal, abundant life. Something I found was interesting as I studied this is when we, let me see if I can get the cycle right, if when we fellowship with someone, often it is the case that we become more like that person. Is that not the case? You see a couple who's been married for 75 years. They start to look like each other, you know what I mean? They can finish each other's thoughts and sandwiches. I mean, they just know each other. I got that from the movie Frozen, by the way. Okay. So they just know each other. They know what each other's thinking. They think alike. They do things together. Because why? They've had so much fellowship together. I don't know about you, but I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not going to happen if I don't fellowship with Him. And I cannot fellowship with Him if I'm not walking in the light of His Word, trusting it, obeying it. And He's helping me to overcome the things that I know are wrong. So, the neat thing is that as I fellowship with my God, I become more like Him. Now, if I become more like Christ, I then have an ability to fellowship with Him on an even deeper level. You see what happened? I've matured, and as we said this morning, He's pouring out more blessings because we've matured. And as I mature and I fellowship with Him on an even deeper level, then I become a little bit more like Him. And as I become a little bit more like Him, I then have a newfound ability to fellowship with Him on an even deeper level. And so goes the cycle. How long will it take us to truly know God? It won't ever happen. We have eternity to do so, folks. And I believe that is what we'll be doing in eternity. Getting to know God, becoming more like Him, and thus having more of an ability to fellowship with Him on a deeper and more intimate level. Wow. That is a beautiful thing. But folks, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to start the process. You can do so right now. John said, I fellowship with Jesus. I saw Him. I touched Him. I heard Him. I ate with Him. And I'm declaring to you that such fellowship is very much possible. How is it that we fellowship with God? He says, oh, let me preface it by saying there's joy overflowing in fellowship with God. Oh, the joy. Folks, you want that? He says, yes, I want that. Then fellowship with God. How do I fellowship with God? Understand that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If you actively walk in darkness, you cannot fellowship with God. Come to Him in your heart tonight and say, God, I confess, I agree with You that I am a sinner and that I have loved my sin more than I have loved You. And I am changing my mind and saying, I agree with You that my sin is wrong, and I agree with You that I need to fellowship with You. Lord, I love You. Help me. Make me like Yourself. Change my desires. Help me to walk in the light. I will open Your Word and I will read it, I will trust it, and I will obey it. He'll help you to do so, folks. Absolutely. He says, if we have, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, actively pursuing the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, how often we come to church with our suits, our ties, and we look the part. You know, 30 minutes before, we're yelling at the wife, get the kid in the car, you know, and then we hurry up to church. Hey, brother so-and-so, oh, life is great, you know. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, get in the Word, trust it, obey it, love it, walk with your God. It says here in verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, we have this concept that fellowship looks like this. I'm walking with God and I sin and I'm out of fellowship. And I get back in fellowship and now I sin and I'm out of fellowship. And I think that can be the case if we are actively walking in darkness. But I tend to think that it's a father-son relationship. When I'm striving to walk in the light, I'm submitting to the Spirit, I'm walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I'm reading my Bible, I'm trusting it, I'm confessing my sin, Lord, I can't do this today. But you know what? I trip up. You know, I think in fellowship, God comes along and He picks me up and He says, son, I love you. And if you will confess this sin, I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and I will enable you to overcome this. And I love you, but we must understand that God is light. Do you see that? He doesn't push us out the door and say, come back when you get right. You know, no. He is there in fellowship to pick us up as we are striving to walk in the light. But folks, you know better than I whether there's something in your life and you know it and you're saying, I'm pursuing darkness. I love this sin and I don't want to give it up. Folks, you're missing out on fellowship with your God. You're missing out on the blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come to Him and confess. All that means is to agree with Him about it. Say, God, I agree with You that this sin is wrong and I need help. I cannot do it on my own. I will open Your Word and I will believe it. And by Your enabling and by Your Holy Spirit, I will obey Your Word. And He will come to you tonight in fellowship. And He will love on you and He will empower you. He'll wrap His arms around you and say, I will walk with you in light. Folks, fellowship is very much available tonight. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, oh, I don't have any sin. There's no problem here. And yet you know you're walking in darkness. You can deceive me. Absolutely. I can deceive you. I can put on the suit and tie and cut my hair and say the right words and boy, I can look the part, but God knows in my heart. The Holy Spirit is there and he says, you know you're not right, you dirty scoundrel. But he says in verse 8, let's finish it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, folks. We can't deceive God. You can deceive me, but really the one you're deceiving is yourself. Don't believe that lie. Satan is the father of lies. And if you think that, oh, I have no problem, I'm fine, and you there's sin there, folks. Satan is having too much sway in your life. The truth is not in us. But verse 9, and he's talking to Christians here. Keep this in mind. This is a message to believers, saved people. If we confess our sins, homologeo, say the same thing that God says. If we agree with God about our sins, did you know that he's faithful? Do you know what that means? Every single time. He's faithful, folks, every single time. And he's just. You know what that means? In the court of heaven, the judge has decreed that this is my son. He has a new position in Jesus Christ, and I saved him. He has a home in heaven. I'm his father. It's been decreed from the courtroom of heaven. And when that child comes to me and confesses his sin, I will forgive that sin. He is right to do it. It would not be right to do any other, according to his own standard. He has decreed it to be so. He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, come to him, sin and all, tonight. Agree with him about it, and he'll forgive you. He'll wrap his arms around you in fellowship and enable you to continue in the light. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If he's convicting you tonight and you're saying, no, Lord, no, that's not the case, folks, just submit. And his word is not in us. Folks, if we get in the word and it has it, if the word of God finds a place and entrenches itself in our heart, we cannot help but confess our sin. It's like a broken record in our mind. We just confess your sin, confess your sin. His word is just nagging at us, and we just have to confess that sin. That ought to be the case. We ought to be people that are saturated with the word. I mean, just saturated. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, again, in evidence that the people to whom he's writing are saved people. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. He's writing and saying, folks, your God loves you, and you can have fellowship with him. And I'm writing to you tonight that you can have joy, that you can have fellowship. You got to understand that God is holy. But hey, can I encourage you? Stop sinning. Don't sin. Sin is not worth it. Satan will feed you any type of lie to get you to believe that sin is just the thing. It's cool. Sin is pleasurable for a season, short or long, but the end is always destruction. John R. Rice, you ever heard him preach? He preached a message and the title was, All Satan's Apples Have Worms. It can look so pretty on the outside, but you take a big chunk of that apple and there's a big, fat, juicy worm. Just, ooh. Listen, folks, sin is not worth it. The blessings available to you in fellowship with your God far outweigh any pleasure that sin may offer you for a season. He says, and if any man sin, because we know it's going to happen, guess what? We have an advocate with the Father. Someone to stand beside me and argue my case and remind the Father that this is your son for whom I died. And though the accuser stands daily and accuses you and me before God, Jesus is our advocate. Folks, take advantage of this. Confess. Confess in your heart now. And fellowship can be yours. Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation. He is the one that sends away our sins. He's the satisfaction for our sins. An angry God looked down at sin, and Jesus Christ stepped in the way and says, I will take your wrath. And he died on the cross for you and for me, so that you and I can have fellowship. Take avail of that tonight. Take advantage of that tonight. He is the satisfaction of the wrath of God for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. Folks, there's salvation available for this world. And if you and I walk around defeated and despondent, how are they ever going to know? Because if you and I don't go to tell them, who will? If we live victorious, abundant Christian lives, experiencing the eternal life, joy and peace and answers to prayer and fellowship with our God, confessing our sin whenever necessary so that we continue in the light and fellowship, oh, we can then be energized and excited to go tell others about this good news. He is the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, not only ours, but the sin of the whole world. So let's get the message out. Live the victorious Christian life, abide in Jesus Christ, and then get out and do the work that He's called you to do. And verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. This is not a test of salvation, folks. This is a test of fellowship. You say, but how can I know that I'm fellowshipping with God? Keep His commandments. How can you keep His commandments if you don't know His commandments? How can you know His commandments if you don't read His commandments? Folks, get in the Word. Open the Word and pore over its pages. And I confess to you that I don't as I should. I want to. And I hope that you have a desire tonight to be a people of the Word and to see the face of Jesus Christ on the pages of Scripture and to walk in the light of His promises, of His Word, in fellowship with God, living the victorious, abundant Christian life, getting the gospel to a lost and dying world, all to the glory of our Father. So folks, I encourage you tonight, fellowship is available. The same fellowship that John had with Jesus Christ, even better. Jesus had to go home and John had to go home. They had to say, good night, Jesus, good night, John, I'll see you in the morning. I can go to bed with the Holy Spirit indwelling me. And fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ as my head is on the pillow. Every moment of every day. Fellowship with your God tonight. Let's pray.